compete in the AFC North, you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit. This team is going to be built on toughness.
We're going to go out and get better every day.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, begins now.
Good evening, Dog Pound. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you and your families. Nathan Zagura joined by the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, for the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. And Coach, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Oh, thanks. Same to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, let's start. A little bit of news, obviously, this week. Change at the quarterback position. I know you've kind of addressed it ad nauseum, but with the switch to Josh McCown, what was the message you were sending to this team?
Just how important the quarterback position is and the standards that they're held to. It's higher than what it is for any other position. And that trust and accountability is a big part of that, and that's where we had a shortcoming. And this wasn't done as a punishment, but it was, it was done in what we felt was best. That Johnny, in order to move forward, has to take a couple steps back. So it's unfortunate, it's disappointing, it's frustrating. But at the same time, felt it was what was best for him individually and what was best for our football team.
Was there ever any consideration to going with Austin Davis to give a look at him and see what he can do?
No, there wasn't. I mean, this is, Josh is back healthy, that he's, threw for over 400 yards against the Ravens on, the last time we played him. That he's more than capable to lead us. We have a pretty good sense of Austin based on his film from St. Louis, what he's done for us in practice, but Josh McCown's our starter.
And just to reiterate for everybody out there, there is still a possibility that Johnny Manziel could start a game this year at quarterback, even without injury.
Yeah, I wouldn't make a blanket statement and say that he's shut down for the rest of the year, but we just felt this was the best thing to do in the short term.
All right, let's go on to Baltimore. You talked about the bye week. You were going to do a lot of self-assessment, every coach, et cetera. What was the biggest maybe takeaway that either you individually or you as a group of coaches had about the team's first 10 games?
It was a lot of little things. I think the coaches just seeing their notes. Some guys had it written out on legal pads. It was a lot of paper, and other guys had it typed up. It was a lot of little details. That we're still very confident in what we do in our systems. That we just know that we have to coach the details better, and we have to execute better. When you get into the situation, you question everything.
Sure.
And I think sometimes people fall into the trap of, well, we must be doing everything wrong. And while it's clear that we're doing some things wrong, that we got to make sure that we continue to do the things right and keep headed in the right direction in a lot of areas, but we feel good about where we are from a structure standpoint. We feel the players are practicing with high energy, focus. It's a competitive group, and I'll be surprised if that doesn't show up on the field Monday night.
When you go against this Ravens team, you expect Joe Flacco, you expect Justin Forsett, you expect Steve Smith. None of them will be there on Monday night. All have had season-ending injuries. Does it make it tough to prepare for a guy, Matt Schaub, who hasn't really played in 2 years? You've only seen one game of Buck Allen and their young receivers.
It doesn't. I don't think they are going to change much schematically, just given Schaub being very similar to Flacco in a lot of ways. And I don't see their run game changing. I mean, Buck Allen had a 44-yard run against us in game one, so we're familiar with him. And Schaub's a guy that's been around this league for a long time and has had a lot of success. It won't affect our mentality. I mean, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances for them, but that really doesn't concern us.
All right. When you went through this and you looked at the running game, which you've talked about wanting to improve for you stopping the run, was there one that seemed an easier fix for you going forward?
No, but there's similarities that. We have to do a better job. Just it's one of those things, making sure that the commitment is there to do it. And I know sometimes as coaches, you always want to get yourself in a position, offensively speaking, that maximize your chances for success. But we just can't, especially now heading into some of these potentially colder weather games, that we can't just live and die on the pass alone.
Right.
That we've made a commitment to improve the run game, both schematically and technique-wise and mentality, and hopefully that shows up.
Did you have to do much from the game plan standpoint because you were preparing, I'm sure, going into the weekend for Johnny now with Josh there? Does that change anything really going into this Ravens game?
Not significantly. I mean, there might be a couple tweaks to the plan. A lot of the plan does get based on kind of what the quarterbacks like and routes they like to throw, things, concepts they're comfortable with. So there's always a subtle shift between quarterbacks. I know Flip does a good job of on his call sheet, kind of having separate sections for all the quarterbacks that are active, knowing that, hey, if Austin gets in the game, these are the core plays that we know that he likes, and that'll make the game calling it much easier for him.
Gary Barnage had a career game the first time around against the Baltimore Ravens, and I'd say probably for everybody, the biggest surprise and certainly a guy who's exceeded expectations this year. Who's somebody that when you went back through the 10 games and went through the film study and the self-evaluation, et cetera, that jumped out at you as, hey, this guy's really come along this year that might not be getting the accolades of a guy like Gary Barnage?
A couple guys defensively. Jordan Poyer, has given the opportunities that he's had, has played well. Another safety is Ibrahim Campbell, that he's done a nice job filling in when he's been in there. Nate Orchard, quietly, I know he hasn't filled the stat sheet up, but when you talk about just being dependable and consistent and doing his job, getting a plus on the grade sheet, that he's done a solid job as well.
All right, injury update, if you have any, on the guys heading there. I know we still have some guys in the concussion protocol, and then Joel Bitonio, obviously, with his ankle injury. Randy Starks with the knee.
No real updates. We'll have an injury report out later in the week, but there really hasn't been a significant change in status for any of those guys.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. When we come back, we're going to talk about Josh McCown's record-setting day the first time around against the Ravens in the PNC Bank Film Breakdown. That's coming up next on the holiday edition of the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford.
The Mike Pettine Interview, brought to you by Elk and Elk.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagrow with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. Time now for the PNC Bank Film Breakdown. And, Coach, we're going to talk about a historic performance. Josh McCown's first game against the Baltimore Ravens, 457 yards, a franchise record. What made him so successful in that game?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. As always, when a quarterback has a big day like that, he'll get a ton of credit, and it's well-deserved, but there were 10 other guys out there playing well. We ran good routes. We caught the football, including one of the greatest catches you'll ever see by Gary Barnage.
That's right.
The protection was solid, and Josh was just, I remember him that day, just kind of talking about guys in the zone, that I thought the interaction was great when he came off the field in between series, and the adjustments and the conversations, and he had a real good sense for what Baltimore was doing, and he knew where to go with the football and was accurate with it, and we all saw the results.
Gary Barnes said it was the greatest catch of his career, the one that he caught with his legs. He also said he had the greatest lookout call of his career on the boot to Gabriel over the top. He kind of missed the guy coming back and gave a lookout to Josh before the big completion. In that game, 138 yards to Barnage, yet over 90 yards receiving amongst your backs, so about 220, 230 to those groups, not even counting the wide receivers. It seems like Baltimore struggled a little bit covering running backs lately out of the backfield. Is that something you want to attack once again with Crow and Duke Johnson?
Yeah, Duke especially. And Crow's done a good job. I think that's one area of Crow's game that he's dramatically improved this year, understanding where to be in the pass game. And it doesn't always look pretty when he catches the ball, but he gets it done. And then that's why Duke's here. I think that game was a good example of some of the things that he can do and get him mismatched on a linebacker, and we all saw the production.
All right, it's time now for the holiday edition of Hashtag Ask Pet. You got a Monday Night Football game coming up. Your favorite Monday Night Football memory?
Would have to be my very first year in the league. I was working in the video department for the Ravens and was down on the sideline for the Monday Night game. It was early in the season, maybe week three or week four, 2002. The Broncos were undefeated. And the season had not started well for us, and I just remember the crowd was electric, and they were into it right from the beginning, and we jumped all over them early. But the biggest memory from that game is they tried a long field goal before halftime, and Chris McAllister caught it about 3 yards from the back end line, and next thing you know, he was celebrating a touchdown. And it was, I think it was the last play of the half, so it was just a huge wave of momentum to go in at halftime. So it was it ended up being a big win for us, and springboarded us to it was kind of a rebuilding season there. But that was probably the signature win of that year.
I know we can't get into the exact verbiage of Brian Billick's halftime speech that day, but is that one that you've kind of built on and used in your career down the line?
Yes, he liked to quote movies, and he used a Pulp Fiction quote, but it was very appropriate. Very appropriate and effective for the moment.
Good. All right. Thanksgiving tonight. What is the Mike Pettine Thanksgiving tradition that you enjoy the most?
I'm probably like most American males. I like to watch football, and I like to take a nap. So get a big meal and watch the game, and at some point end up on the couch with a little drool later on. Wakes me up, but I know that's. I can't. It's been a long time since I haven't done that. Had a great meal, watched some ball, and took a pretty good nap.
You a turkey leg guy?
I'm not.
No,
I'm not.
Okay, all white meat.
All white meat.
All white meat. Keeping it lean and on the scene for the coach. All right, I have to ask you this: cranberry sauce, right out of the can? Yes or no?
No.
Man, tough crowd on the cranberry sauce. I'm gonna ask Cam Irving later.
I'm a green bean casserole guy.
Okay. With the onion straws on the top?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, and finally, Coach, what are you thankful for this year?
There's so much, but it always starts with family. I always emphasize that with the players, that it's family first. And in the team meeting the other day, just talked about, Thanksgiving, and it gives us a perfect opportunity as men. Where we are, that we're so blessed to be involved and be employed in the National Football League, and playing and coaching a kid's game, and have that be providing us with our livelihoods. I know we're not getting the results on the field that we want, but it's important for us to hit the pause button and thank the people that helped get us to where we are now, and definitely thank the people that are helping us continue to stay where we are now. So I think that's an important day, but it really is a great day to kind of hit the pause button and make sure your family knows how important they are.
I like the sentimental answer. I thought you were going to say press conferences, but maybe another time. Coach, thank you so much. Happy holidays to
great.
You and your family.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, I'll sit down with Cam Irving. We'll find out if he likes cranberry sauce right out of the can. I might be the only one here when we return on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the holiday edition of the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford, joined now by Browns guard, for the time being anyway, Cam Irving. Cam, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing very well. How was the bye week for you? Mike Pettine said it was the time of reflection. So what did you kind of focus on over the bye week?
I just focused on resting my mind. Even though I haven't been playing a lot, it's been something new to me, and it's been mentally taxing. So, it was good to get away from it for a few days and, come back refreshed.
So, Mike, your first start in the NFL at guard. Have you ever started a game at guard before in your life?
Never played a game at guard.
Never played a game at guard, and that's what you do in your first start at NFL. So what was kind of the biggest eye-opening experience for you about your first start?
Just not being in game shape early, really. It takes a little while to get in game shape, and the older guys told me that, and it was my first game, so it was a little winded, but, keep fighting through it. It's not major.
So I know you've won awards as a tackle. You've won awards as a center. What's the biggest difference between those positions and playing guard?
Guards, like I said, man, things on the inside with the center guard tackle just happen a lot quicker, in my opinion. And it's just bigger, more heavy set guys in there. So you have to manage it that way.
What's been kind of the biggest adjustment, maybe technique-wise, that you've had to learn in the NFL versus what you were able to do in college? Because you were just more gifted than the people you were going against.
Being more patient instead of trying to hit people too hard. I had to be more calm and just, you know, use my technique more.
What was kind of the biggest takeaway for you from that first game and something that you wanted to maybe work on to improve should you start on Monday night against the Ravens?
Well, just footwork, hands, and just making sure that I don't put myself nor the team in a bad situation.
Was it weird getting most of your reps all year at right guard and then playing left guard? Was it, what was the difference there? Was it a footwork issue or anything that was tough to kind of overcome in your first start?
It was a little different, but I like I said, I pride myself on being an offensive lineman, so that's not something that if I made a mistake, I'm going to make an excuse for. So, I mean, it was weird, of course, but I mean, at the same time, it's football.
All right, Monday Night Football, opportunity to play in front of a national television audience. Is that something that you've always kind of thought about as a kid, getting to play on Monday Night Football?
Oh, yeah, man, definitely. It's exciting and the tension's building, but, you know, it's just it's another football game, so I'm going to it just that way.
Did you watch football over the bye week?
I watched my high school football team play, and I watched Florida State play on Saturday.
And that was a no NFL.
No. Well, I watched the Patriots the other night, but okay. I didn't really watch a lot of the NFL games on Sunday. I was relaxing. I was just spending time with my people before, you know, I had left. So.
All right. Very good. Well, I got to ask you, since it is the show's airing on Thanksgiving here tonight, what's your number one Thanksgiving part of the meal, side, whether it be the turkey? What is it? What do you love the most about Thanksgiving?
I mean, the food's great, but, you know, I just appreciate the family and being able to gather a lot more, you know. You know, food's going to always be a part of everybody's life every day, but Thanksgiving, you know, you have to really reflect and just appreciate what you have.
What's something you're thankful for?
I'm just thankful for this opportunity. I'm thankful for my family and just thankful to be a part of something that I've always wanted to do.
All right, I just need to know this from me personally. Cranberry sauce out of the can, yes or no?
No.
All right, I like it. I don't know. Well, Cam, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and good luck on Monday night against the Ravens.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, man.
All right, when we come back, it'll be my final thoughts as the Browns get ready to take on the Ravens in week number 12. You're on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show on News Channel 5.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show this Sunday. The Browns are off, but we've got you covered with all sorts of Browns programming on News Channel 5. First at 11 a.m., we're going inside the Cleveland Browns with Dustin Fox and Sarah Carnes, and then we're right back at you with the Mike Pettine Coaches Show at 11:30. Then Monday night, tune into News Channel 5 at 7 p.m. for Browns Countdown with myself, Andy Baskin, Dave Zastadil, and Mike Cairns leading up to kickoff against the Baltimore Ravens. As always, Channel 5 is your official broadcast partner of the Cleveland Browns on air and online with special content you won't be able to get anywhere else. Also, don't forget to take part in Giving Tuesday, which follows Black Friday and Cyber Monday. It's a global day dedicated to giving back. The Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Browns Foundation are participating in the giving from November 29th through December 1st. Proceeds benefit the Cleveland Browns Foundation and many other programs, and there are numerous Browns prizes to be won. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com to learn more about how you can support the campaign. Well, it will be Josh McCown again at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns against the Baltimore Ravens on Monday Night Football. Of course, McCown, a record-setting 457 yards as he was in that streak of three straight 300-yard games. Also a Browns record. Hopefully he can recapture some of that magic on Monday night against the Baltimore Ravens. And as for Johnny Manziel, hopefully he can get to the point where all we can talk about for Johnny is his performance on the field. It's unfortunate. I was looking forward to him starting Monday night, and I know many of you were as well. And he unfortunately put Mike Pettine and this organization in a tough spot with his behavior over the weekend. Hopefully this is just a blip on the radar, a bump in the road for Johnny Manziel, and he has an opportunity to get back on the field and show the big, big progress he has made as a quarterback in his second year and show us that tantalizing talent that we all yearn to see. Now for the Browns, it's going to be a new-look Ravens team. No Joe Flacco in Matt Schaub. No Justin Forsett at running back. In comes Buck Allen. They'll have no Steve Smith or Breshad Perriman at wide receiver. So basically, all the skill position players have been turned over. But for the Browns, it's going to come down to reestablishing or establishing, maybe for the first time, the identity that they entered this season with. Run the football and stop the run. The Browns giving up the most rushing yards per game to running backs and the most total yards per game to running backs. Last time it was Justin Forsett having a monster day for the Ravens. Even Buck Allen had 8 carries for 58 yards. They've got to stop the run and put the game in the hands of Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub has thrown 6 interceptions in his last 81 pass attempts. Put the ball in his hands, and I think the Browns will have no problem getting a victory for the second time this season over the Ravens on Monday night. I want to wish everybody a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving as we start the holiday season here. It is always a great time to give thanks for all that we are so fortunate to have here in this great country, the United States of America. And I know families come in all shapes and sizes and forms these days, but be sure to tell everybody you know in your heart that you love them and enjoy this time with them and take a break from kind of the craziness of our everyday lives. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Mike Pettine Coaches Show as the Browns get ready to host the Cincinnati Bengals. From all of us here at News Channel 5, to you and yours, happy Thanksgiving and have a healthy and safe holiday season.
This was the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford.